Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, as a global city, nearly 4 in 10 people living in Singapore today are not citizens or permanent residents. This means that meeting a life partner who's not from Singapore and deciding to get married is not uncommon. According to the government's population brief in 2020 report, in 2019, over 4,400 Singaporean men wed non-resident brides, making up 1 in 5 marriages involving at least one citizen. To find out more, we're joined today by Teresa Tan, a senior social affairs correspondent at The Straits Times. Teresa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, wonderful to have you with us on the show. So as I mentioned, those statistics, 2019, 4,426 Singaporean men wed non-resident brides. And in a recent article, you shared that some of these partners meet just a few times before they tie the knot. But, you know, more are opting for a pre-marriage assessment, I understand. Can you tell us more about that? How does it work? What does the assessment involve? Who should take it? What's the format?
Well, basically, couples, transnational couples can go to the ICA website and do this assessment online. Mm-hmm. What it basically does is it asks you for a host of information about yourself. You know, for example, were you married previously? If so, mm-hmm. you know, how many children did you have? What's your income like? Do you have any criminal record? Are you a bankrupt? Mm-hmm. Are you receiving government financial help? You know, so on and so forth. So basically what it does is two things. First, I think a lot of people are not aware that the marriage to a Singaporean does not automatically qualify you for a long-term stay here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the first step that people thinking of marrying a foreigner is to apply for a long-term visit pass. So this pre-marriage long-term visit pass assessment gives you an assessment of how likely you're going to get this visa.
Okay.
So if you know that your foreign partner is not likely to get this visa, then you might consider other options, you know. The other thing is, for some of these marriages between the Singaporean men and their foreign wives, what social workers have been seeing is that some of them do, you know, marry after meeting a few times.
Okay.
Some may not even speak the same language and so on and so forth. So, you know, there are unique challenges to these marriages. So what this pre-marriage long-term visit pass assessment does is to give them a chance to exchange key information about themselves before they say I do, or before even they, you know, to give them a chance to assess if this is the person for them.
And a better understanding of their past, their history. But some of these details are quite, I mean, it's quite sensitive, but obviously if you're marrying a life partner, it should be information that you would want to share with them. But as you mentioned, you know, criminal record, past marriage history, how does this process get couples to open up to those potentially sensitive issues pre-marriage?
I think by the simple fact that you fill in the form and you see your partner's form, you get a sense of this this person's past. You must understand that some of these marriages are entered into fairly speedily for various reasons. So so some might not know their partners all that well. You know, it's a chance for them to get to know their partner better and decide whether they still want to go ahead their marriage, you know, if they find things that could be troubling to them.
Okay. Yeah. And why is this such a key issue, or why is this important now, Teresa? I mean, we've spoken about some of the statistics. I mean, that 2019 statistic of 4,426 Singaporean men marrying non-resident brides. Is this number going up or down, or why is there a focus on this at the moment?
First and foremost, the numbers are significant. You know, we're talking about 4,000 over men a year, which makes up like, what, 1 in 5 marriages involving
right.
one citizen. Numbers have actually come down a bit in the past decade, yeah. But having said that, there are still, you know, many such marriages involving Singaporean men and a non-resident wife. the other thing is that these marriages produce children, and you know, down the line, their implications for the well-being of the family and the children.
We're speaking to Teresa Tan, senior social affairs correspondent at The Straits Times. And Teresa, you know, while some of these unions are happy unions, not all of them are so fortunate, are they? And I was reading a recent article that you published, I think this week, about the case of a Vietnamese bride who's receiving free legal aid. Should such marriages turn sour, and we do have a spouse that's come in from overseas, what kind of legal support and legal avenues are available, or support structures are available to help them go through perhaps a divorce or a difficult situation?
Well, basically most, if not all, the support services are available to them. The question is, do they know how to find it and, you know, where to find it? Because many of them are very isolated. They may not have family or friends here. Some, like in the case of the women, the Vietnamese women I interviewed, the husband kept her largely confined at home, so they don't know where to go for help. So the challenge for social workers is to reach out to these foreign wives. That's one. But what has happened is that I think what social workers are saying is that a lot of them, I mean, maybe not a lot, there are some of them who remain in unhappy or abusive marriages, like the Vietnamese lady I interviewed. Because they're afraid their husbands will cancel their long-term visit pass if they leave the marriage. And if the husbands do so, then they will be repatriated without their children. So they suffer in silence, so to speak. But what is very encouraging is the government has actually come out to say that, you know, divorced foreign spouses of Singaporeans can stay in Singapore on a long-term visit pass until the child turns 21. That is, if they meet certain conditions. So, for example, the foreign spouse must have care and control of the child. Care and control is granted by the court, and the parent who has care and control lives with the child, or they have sole custody or joint custody. So, I guess essentially, it you know, it gives them some peace of mind knowing that they perhaps they can stay on in Singapore until their child turns 21. However, they have to find a Singaporean to sponsor their long-term visit pass.
And for those listening in that may be aware of a foreign spouse or a spouse in general going through a difficult situation, who should they call?
I would just like to highlight one recent example. The Law Society Pro Bono Services and Eden Law Corporation have actually started offering free legal help to foreign spouses with Singaporean children. And this is very commendable and noteworthy because, you know, many of these women can't afford to hire a lawyer. And, they essentially do not know how to navigate the family justice system. And so I guess without this help, you know, they might be more inclined, like the Vietnamese woman I talked to remain in abusive marriages, lah. But of course, if you know that somebody is, you know, being abused or it's in real physical danger of harm, I think you should just call the police.
That's right. And moving on, I understand a spokesperson from MSF said that feedback from a series of conversations will be taken into consideration for future reviews of policies supporting marriage and parenthood in Singapore. What kinds of shifts in policy have we seen?
I can take you through what has been done in the past. I think our policy has shifted to provide more support to these foreign spouses. For example, there's in 2012, there was a new category of visa called the long-term visit pass plus, which is slightly different from the long-term visit pass in that it offers a longer validity, and it offers the holder of the pass healthcare rates at prices at fees that are similar to what permanent residents pay. So so the healthcare cost is not so much a challenge to them, and then they can work. It's easier for them to work. I won't go into various details, but it's easier for them to work now. They just have to get this thing called a letter of consent from the government. Besides that, I think the Ministry of Social and Family Development has also introduced various marriage preparation and marriage support programs for these couples to help them you know, build a better foundation to their marriages. And also, I guess, to introduce these women to buddies, people that they can turn to
okay.
for help in Singapore. Yeah, which I think that was, you know, quite significant, you know, because many of these women, they're very, very alone here. Mm. Yeah. So we have all that that has happened. Going forward, I mean, at this point, I think we do not have very much information to suggest what kind of changes can we expect. But I guess we are hopeful, you know, we are hopeful that more will be done or can be done for this group of foreign spouses.
Okay, well, Teresa, thank you so much for shedding light on this topic.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Teresa Tan, Senior Social Affairs Correspondent at The Straits Times right here on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.